Thank you. A reporter outside, as I got here, asked me why we would have a tribunal in a country like this. Usually we think of tribunals in third world repressive countries. And why would we need a tribunal here? And I told him that we actually, those of us who are victims of police shootings, or the families of victims, don't have any more rights than people in the countries he mentioned. That in fact, we grow up with a myth, and the myth is the myth of civil rights. What I learned on December 15th in 1993 is that I didn't have any civil rights, and neither did my family. Civil rights on paper are not civil rights unless you can enforce them. And the fact is, most of us who have lost family members to police violence have not been able to enforce our civil rights. Most of us. There are a few families that we can say, because of circumstances, like video or like other compelling evidence that the police cannot overcome, in some limited cases can find justice. But the vast majority of police abuse, police violence, and police killings are never punished. And the civil rights of those victims are never realized. And therefore, they don't exist. It's something that I didn't know until December 15th, 1993. I also didn't know that police routinely lie. I discovered that after 5 years, when I was finally able to obtain a video, an audio cassette tape that was running in the shirt pocket of the officer who killed my son. I had to go to court to get the tape. The Police Officers Association tried to prevent me from getting it. They lost. I won. And when I heard the tape, I learned for the first time that the whole reason that was given by the police for why my son and my husband had to die that day was a lie. They claimed that my son refused to surrender his dog to animal control. Everything that happened, they claimed, was a result of his refusal to comply and his refusal to surrender his dog. When I finally heard the audio cassette tape 6 years later, I heard my son very plainly agree to get the dog. So it was all a lie. If I had never been able to obtain that tape, I would have gone to my grave believing the lie they told, believing that my son was in the wrong, and believing that there was a reason for him and his father, who was in a wheelchair as a double amputee, to die. The fact is, there was no reason. There never was a reason. And there never was a reason for Oscar Grant or Gerald Hall or Mark Garcia or any of the others. That is the tragedy of it. There never is a reason. Things just get out of hand. And why? Well, those of us who are teachers and are familiar with children or even just parents familiar with children know, when there are no consequences for bad behavior, there's no reason to stop behaving badly. The fact that there are almost never any bad consequences for officers who do these terrible things is why they keep doing them. They don't pay the lawsuits. Their department doesn't pay the lawsuits. The taxpayers pay the lawsuits. They don't get fired. As we've heard, they typically get promoted. The worst that happens is they get a couple of months of paid vacation. It's called paid administrative leave while the investigation continues. So while families are grieving their loss, the perpetrator is off on a 2 or 3 or 6 month holiday. Justice is hard to come by, and it's a secret to the vast number of Americans who believe, as the reporter who asked me did, who believe that it's different here, that this is a democracy, this is not a dictatorship, this is not a third world country. I believe that too, until December 15th, 1993. In 20 minutes, I lost one third of my family. I almost lost another son who had been in the basement and came upstairs when he heard the commotion and was immediately pointed, having guns pointed at him and told to get down on the ground, who saw his father and his brother lying on top of one another, dying or dead. And this incident has a lot of the hallmarks of many of the others. Of course, they took quite a while to get my husband and son to Highland Hospital. There were an awful lot of other things that happened that were inhumane, insensitive, and completely unnecessary on the part of the city and the part of the Oakland Police Department. They are still killing people, as we know. And the analysis that has been provided here, I don't think anyone can dispute. The question is what we do about it. And I know that all of us who've been in this fight for many, many years have different ideas about that, different ideas about where the solution lies and how to get there. If we could just figure out how to come together around a common strategy, I think we might be able to get somewhere. There are some people who think the system can't be fixed. It has to be destroyed. There are other people and other groups who are trying to make the system a better system, a more responsive system. I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. I think while we're waiting for a new system, we can at least get a better one in the meantime. Maybe get some more justice for some more families. I think there are a lot of other things we might be able to do, like create a circumstance in which officers themselves are deprived of their qualified immunity, which means that you can't sue them. You can't apply punitive damages to the officer. I think we need to start looking at some ways to get officers to actually have to pay for their crimes like everyone else in society has to, and deny them qualified immunity, which means that not a dime comes out of their pocket, that the taxpayer picks up the millions and millions of dollars in police lawsuits every year, millions of dollars that could be used for other far more important things like our seniors and our kids and our schools. I don't think most people realize how much all of us, the whole community, suffers from these multi-million dollar lawsuits that are caused by these criminal officers. So let's try to work together and see if we can come up with some strategies and work collectively to apply pressure. Pressure is certainly what's needed to overcome a system that is as entrenched and as full of corruption as this one is. Thank you very much.
Well, we do have to fight together for justice for Oscar Grant and to get the truth out about this. And that's what we're going to do, even as we're discussing what the problem is, what the solution is, and so on. And, you know, Rashida said two things that I just have to talk about. The fact that the police kill people and there is no, usually, and this has got to change in the Oscar Grant case, but usually there's no punishment. This is a green light for others. This is part of what makes it murder. The Chronicle reported there were only 6 cases involving 13 cops in the past 15 years, and we're talking about thousands of murders during that time, in which murder charges were filed against police. None resulted in a murder conviction. Again, we've got to change that in the Oscar Grant case. The murder charge against Messerly is the first that anyone can remember, even though police are responsible for 100 homicides every single year in California alone. Every single year, yet no one can even remember someone being charged with murder. And the other thing I just wanted to mention, Rashida talked, you know, the point you're making, what do we need a tribunal here for? One of the big excuses that has come out for Messerly is the notion, oh, he was going for his taser. Hey, guess what? What is so good about tasing someone? Tasers have 50,000 volts of electricity. You kill people with taser. A month after Oscar was killed, someone was killed in San Jose by a taser. And speaking of tribunals, the United Nations calls tasers a form of torture. So we do need tribunals in this country. And yes, we do live under a form of dictatorship by a plutocracy. Next, I would like to bring up Teresa Timms, the mother of Richard Timms, who was killed by San Francisco police in March of 2002.